Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Dog days of summer. We got a lot of action today. We have NBA draft tonight. Michael Wacha on the slab tonight. You know I'm there. I'm locked in, man.
That's my quarterback.
That's how I feel like right now watching the Royals, like T.O. with the sunglasses on, crying in the postgame. Why do you do it to yourself, Dusty? You should all do it. Watch the game. That way you can have an educational take on it. This team can't hit, okay, but why can't they hit?
Well, nobody knows the answer to that one.
Well, swing and miss rate's not great. But also, there's a little bit of action today in the baseball world, which if you want to follow this parlay, you're more than welcome to via DraftKings. It is Mizorowski versus Paul Skeens today.
Hell of a matchup. Let's go.
I mean, literally, if you have 2 hours to kill, right here.
And it may not be like the Royals game last night was over in about two hours. Yeah. Well, when you don't hit, it's easy to get outs.
Right. Mizorowski, Paul Skeens, 110 in Milwaukee. The parlay I'm taking is under 7 runs. Paul Skeens to record 8 or more strikeouts. And Jacob Mizorowski to record 6 or more. That is plus 455.
It's amazing how these young pitchers are coming up to the big league level, and they're really dominating right now. Like, all the young pitchers, obviously pitching is always ahead of hitting and whatnot, but the young pitching right now is dominating. Some of the young bats, like we're looking at with Cags right now, and some of these other guys aren't, you know, to that level. But these young pitchers, man, this Mizorowski guy, he's from the area, like local kid, but 2 weeks ago, you didn't know who this guy was. I don't want to hear from the text line, I followed McGrain Valley or something. I don't care. Nobody knew who this guy was. And now he's taken the big leagues by storm, and it's been the featured matchup that they've been pushing in Major League Baseball probably since the weekend. I think I saw it last Friday that they were promoting like this game.
We talked about it. Like, before we left the air, I was like, ooh, next Wednesday is MLB Network.
It was a week ago. Like, so they've been promoting this game for a week. I mean, it's almost like Mahomes Allen type of stuff. Mahomes Burrow, or maybe a little bit lower than that. Maybe it's Lamar and Burrow or something like that. But this is being viewed as one of the big marquee matchups that you're going to see, not just today in baseball, but maybe in the next couple of weeks in Major League Baseball. And so if you're into it, I know it's a 1 o'clock game and everybody's at work and doing their thing, but that's kind of one to keep an eye on. Those are two superstars of the game. And I think baseball really is doing a better job of marketing. I don't know if you're on this email list that I'm on, but every day I get an email from MLB now that just started in the last month or so of everything that's coming up that day. Here are the big matchups coming up. Here are the players that are going to be participating. Here's some of the things they're going for. Here are some of the big games that we're looking at. Here are some of the play. Like,
they'll give you milestones too.
Yeah, they're giving you all kinds of stuff. Like, MLB is really doing a good job of now doing, again, they listen, doing everything we said they didn't do. They're doing a great job of it because people in Kansas City are talking about this pitching matchup today because it's so big.
Yeah, it'll be a battle of who can throw it, you know, harder and more consistent. And then Pittsburgh doesn't score runs. I can't imagine Milwaukee scoring a whole lot of runs. I mean, I could literally see this game being 2-0 and over an hour and 48 minutes. That's just the way these guys pitch. I mean, they're quick, they're efficient. They throw it 102 miles per hour. I do have a buddy named Nick who is really involved with like youth baseball, played high school, college, all that sort of stuff. And he did say that, like, you know, to the people that say, oh, Kansas City missed out on Mizorowski, he said it wasn't until like his junior year of, like, you know, junior ball, you know, JUCO ball, that he started to learn how to throw a fastball and be more efficient. So it's not like this guy has been a prodigy since he was 9 years old. Because I went to high school with a kid named Nick Tepish, who was amazing. He ended up being a pro baseball player, played for Texas, won a state title his senior year, threw like 84, like 83 as a freshman, as a sophomore, junior year, tall as you know what, throwing 93.
Yeah.
Senior year, ride his coattails all the way to state, throwing 93, 94, goes to Mizzou, gets drafted out of Mizzou, goes to Texas, has a career in MLB. But I mean, again, like, not everybody develops as like a 7-year-old. Right. So like sometimes these guys go to JUCO and they become a junior, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's okay. Now I've got it figured out. You think about Brady Singer, couldn't throw a changeup.
Mm-hmm.
Finally figured out how to throw a changeup, had his best year of his career, trade away this year to the Reds, and now hopefully he stays successful in the MLB.
Everybody develops at their own rate, right, too. And I hate when people say
that they missed.
Yeah, they missed. That's ridiculous. Yeah, we're still. You know what? They drafted the guy that everybody wanted him to draft in Bubba Starling, and how did that turn out for them?
Yeah.
You know, so they went with the local guy because of all of the stuff that people say. They were hoping Bubba wasn't there. They had no choice but to draft Bubba Starling, and he was a total bust. And there's just no other way to put it. From a baseball standpoint, he didn't get the job done. I hate the fact, oh, we got to draft the local kid, or they should be on the local kid. Now, everybody has scouts everywhere all over the country. Everybody sees these players. Certain scouts are able to form different relationships with players, and then if you have a good relationship with the scout, you know, sometimes you win the tie because the scout has a good relationship with the family, or however, you know, this stuff works out. Just because a kid plays in your backyard, should the Dallas Cowboys be criticized for not having Patrick Mahomes on their roster? Like, we don't hear that in football. Oh, they should have had this guy, he's a local kid. A lot of local kids in a lot of local areas that don't get drafted by their hometown teams, and that's okay because there may be somebody better out there. So I just hate when people say, oh, the Royals missed out on this guy, that guy, because he's in their own backyard. Yeah, they did. Did they? Where was this kid drafted? How many teams passed on him? How many times, you know?
Right. So yeah, that game will be on, I believe, MLB Network today. Should be a fun one to watch with Paul Skeens versus Mizorowski. Who are you rooting for?
Skeens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Skeens guy. Yeah, absolutely. Always will be. Yep.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, I've been liking him for the last couple of years. So I'm not going to change.
Guys, come on.
That's all right. I don't care. I'm rooting for the guy that I've been rooting for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I'm been on the Paul Skeens train for a couple of years now. And so I'm going to continue on that train. I think he's good for baseball. I love him.
Yeah, it sucks he's in Pittsburgh. But he does have
for long.
He does have the superstar, you know, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Has he, when you think he proposes?
It's been a minute.
Who proposes first, Skeens or Kelsey?
Kelsey, I would say.
You think?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they're older, you know? Skeens is kind of, he hasn't signed the big contract yet, all that kind of stuff. And
Kelsey,
so
may already have him.
Well, I mean, you saw that wedding invitation, right? That said the Taylor and Travis Kelsey. So, like, people are like, did they already get together behind, you know, are they doing an Aaron Rodgers type thing, right? Where they're telling people they're not married, but maybe they are. Where Aaron Rodgers is telling people he's married and nobody can find a marriage certificate for that. So
I'm also, like, torn with that. Because I understand, like, privacy and who he is, and I understand, like, maybe you don't want your wife or whatever in the limelight, right? But also, the other side of it is, like, I would not be shocked if he's like, yeah, my marriage is spiritual. I'd be like, oh.
Oh, like he's married to the universe?
Or something like that. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a smartass.
No,
really,
I know you're not. No.
Like, I'm really saying, I've been on this with you guys for a while. I'm like, Are we sure he's married? And this was 3 weeks ago. And then everyone thinks that we're just the only people that hate on Aaron Rodgers. Then all of a sudden the stories start to come out, like TMZ and, you know, ESPN, like all these other things. It's like, we haven't seen his wife, and yet there's no document they've been married. His family's
right.
It's like, so maybe I'm not crazy. I mean, I am, but like, maybe I'm not full crazy.
Yeah, I didn't say I married a person. I said I married a tree. Or
I don't know. And yeah. I mean, you know.
Like, you could see Aaron Rodgers being that type of guy, being the narcissist that he is, telling everybody, well, I never said I was married to a person. I'm married to the spiritual being of the world.
Yeah, man, I've been immunized. So, yeah, it's all good.
I'm in love with the clouds.
Yeah. Like, he could be, like, if he really wanted to, not
to
the same level.
I married Smash Burger last night.
But he could be the next, like, Bill Walton type of guy if he really wanted to. You know, go out there and talk about how you're married to the universe and you don't wear shoes.
Nah, because Bill Walton did, the cool drugs.
Yeah, Bill Walton exactly, was awesome, too. People like Bill Walton. Yeah. Like, nobody likes Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, nobody likes Aaron Rodgers. Not even, you know, his own teammates. I mean, like, see you later, goodbye. I mean, how does Nate Hackett feel about Aaron Rodgers at this point?
He can't even hack it anymore.
That guy doesn't have a job.
Yeah, well, he got hatchet. How many days are we away from the first real NFL football game of the year? 73?
73 days till the first real football game of the year. The Chiefs will go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and take on the Chargers.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
In 73 days.
Had arms.
So with that, I bring to you, we were talking earlier about division odds, Super Bowls. It's that time of the year, right? Time to get your future bets in, look at some division odds. Okay, this team's favored for the AFC. Oh, this team's going to lose in the divisional round. Worst to first, all those sorts of things, right? So I ask you, How do you feel about the division odds of the AFC West, which for the first time in probably in the last 10 years are pretty dang close? The Chiefs sit, trying to get to right in front of me, at plus 120, I believe. This is on, I'm just using FanDuel, minus 115, plus 310 for the Chargers, plus 340 for the Broncos.
What are the Raiders?
Plus 1,200, which I think is, I wouldn't, I mean, it's really good odds.
That
I wouldn't bet
rude.
On it. But yeah, I would bet on that.
Plus 1,200?
Yeah.
What that's
are the
a really
Steelers
good value.
To win the North? Are they that much better than the Chargers or the Raiders to win the West?
I bet the Steelers like plus 800 probably.
Plus 500.
Oh, okay.
The Browns,
wow.
The Browns and the Jets are the worst division odds in the league, plus 1,600 and plus 3,200. But the next is the Raiders at plus 1,200. Yeah. Oh, no, excuse me, the Giants. Sorry, your Giants,
okay,
Bob.
The Giants, yeah. Well, I think the Raiders at plus 1,200, they would have to overcome three teams to win that division, right? I think the second best team in the division is Denver for me right now. They would only have to overcome one team to win the division. Then the Chargers, probably the second best team behind Denver, the third best team, they have to overcome two teams. So I understand where I think the odds are very fair. And I think the odds right now are showing you that they want to get some people betting on some of these other teams to win the division. Like, Vegas isn't stupid. They're very smart. They know how people react. And right now, because I saw it already, the Charger love is starting to trickle out. The Bronco love is trickling out. People are stupid generally, right? And they think like, oh, Denver won some games last year, made the playoffs. The Chargers, well, they got this guy in pleated khakis who may be married to Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? They're both weird like that, right? And so you've got those two teams that people seemingly blindly follow, and they will put their money on there, and Las Vegas will build extra casinos because people are stupid. So I think the odds are very fair for that. What the hell was that?
Yeah, I mean,
that guy's an idiot.
I think that the best part about it is that we talked about it earlier today, is that you have to eventually figure out when that year happens, right? Like, for instance, if you could gamble back in the 90s on the Braves, they won 14 consecutive AL East titles. Eventually it had to end. So for years, you know, like, eventually the Royals will not lose at home. Is it today that you bet the Royals on the money line? Maybe not. Is it tomorrow that you bet the money line? Maybe. But eventually it ends. Like, eventually that has to stop.
Your math just says it will.
I just don't think that's now. I do think that's a little unfair for the Raiders, though, at plus 1,200.
I agree.
I think they're a little bit better than people give them credit for. I think Geno's better. I think Brock Bowers in year two could be dangerous. They have Ashton Jeanty, who I think his projected total in rushing yards this year is like 1,150, which I think is low. Hello, Dynasty pick one, Ashton Jeanty, or maybe you go take that kid out of North Carolina that Jim Harbaugh now has, who will run 30 times a game in the Chargers organization. But look, somebody's got to beat the Chiefs. I just don't know if that year's this year. The Chiefs wide receiver room is good. Their defense is still led by Spagnuolo, Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, all of those guys, the original aristocrats on that defense. And you got to think there's more to it than just get the revenge of the Super Bowl. There's more like the Last Dance sort of feel with Travis Kelce, Mahomes with the new haircut and the scorched earth mentality. I don't have any issue with the odds. I think if you were going to take a team, though, I think it's Denver. I really do think it's Denver. I think they're I think their defense is what can help them, because somebody had a thing earlier that said Brock Osweiler took the Broncos to the Super Bowl. It's not true. That defense took Denver to the Super Bowl, obviously, because I believe Von Miller was the MVP of that Super Bowl, who absolutely wrecked that game from snap one. So,
and they had a guy on the other end who was on the all-quarter century team in DeMarcus Ware. So it's pretty decent
defense. Pretty solid defense there, led by two solid dudes. Von Miller in his prime, Ware on his outside of his prime. Yeah. But I'm not mad about the odds. Look, it just shows you how tough this division is going to be and how this might be one of the better years that the Chiefs could win their division. You go 14-3 this year in this division.
I guess I don't remember. I know betting is fairly new legally, but I don't remember every year going in and trying to find a reason why the Patriots weren't going to win the East. Now, I know their competition was never all that great in the East, but the Chiefs' competition hasn't been all that good in the West until this year, really. And for years prior, everybody was picking the Chargers or somebody else to win the division because they wanted it to be different. I don't recall this situation happening every single year where we found, created, and invented ways why the Patriots couldn't win the AFC East. Like, we're inventing, creating, and making up ways why the Chiefs can't win the West continually with the best quarterback and the best head coach in football, and the best combination that we probably ever did see.
From the 816, Denver is the most overhyped team in the AFC. That's false. Denver
is one of those teams, though, that could have that fall, you know, but their coach is good. I'll give them that. Their coach is really good, but they could have that fall, because whenever you go into a season and everybody's white hot about a team, it's usually the team that takes the step
back. I think
back.
The team that's overhyped the most is the Houston Texans. Let's just get rid of our best left tackle and let this third-year quarterback go out there and do it.
The problem with that is they have nobody to compete with in their division right now.
Yeah, they're... I mean, dude.
Daniel Jones.
They're +110 in the AFC South.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's sad. I know they've made the playoffs twice. They've won that division, but...
That's why they're overhyped. They don't play anybody.
You need to start separating yourself.
Yeah, they get in the playoffs, and it's like, oh, welcome to the league, boys.
But that's what Houston's been doing every year since they've been in existence. Win a bad division, play at 3 o'clock on Saturday, lose, and then go home.
Yeah, but they're going to have to find that shift.
They did win a playoff game last year, though, right? If I'm not mistaken, they ended up coming here to Kansas City.
Two years in a row, they've won a playoff game.
Yeah.
So you do have to give them that.
And they've lost to the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yep.
So, I guess fair and unfair, but if you're going to eventually get over that hype train, you've got to beat somebody that's at the top. Buffalo's there, too.
Yeah.
Yep, and trading your all-pro left tackle, to your point, is not necessarily the way that I'd go about doing that.
That was an NBA type of trade.
Very weird.
I mean, it was a strange trade. You know, you got a young quarterback, keep your left tackle intact, who's one of the best in the game.
No gas mask.
None.
Coaching tiers via ML Football. Top three, McVay, Andy Reid, Sirianni. Second tier, Sean Payton, Kevin O'Connell, Jim Harbaugh. Who's that guy in the middle with
Shanahan?
I did not know his ears were like that. And then, Matt LaFleur. Shanahan, my word, they couldn't have done you better than that.
Picture of Sean Payton's a little rough, too.
Is Dan Campbell? Sean Payton looks like he's running for office in Tennessee. We will blitz the competition, and we will eventually take over the country, I promise. Kevin O'Connell going ahead of Dan Campbell, huh? You okay with that? That's the only thing I thought it was a little bit. I think they should both be in the same room. That's where I'm at on this list. I agree with the top three. I mean, those are, your last three Super Bowl winners?
Yep.
I mean, yeah. So, you're in a room by yourself. You got a trophy, and you're with the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid and Sirianni and McVay. That's a room I'd stay in. Now, I think Dan Campbell should be up a little bit higher. Dan Quinn being already there, a little strong for me. Had one good year in Washington. Can he keep doing it? But to put him in the playoff contenders, I think is fine. But I think Dan Campbell's elite. If Kevin O'Connell's elite, am I wrong on that?
Semi-Pro Football Out of Focus did their rankings as well. And they have Dan Campbell 9 and Kevin Stefanski 10 on that list. Their number one is obviously Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton they have as the number two best coach in the NFL.
Sean Payton?
Yep.
That guy's an idiot.
They have Sean McVay number 3, mm-hmm. Harbaugh 4,
which
John.
One? Okay.
Tomlin 5, Jim 6, Shanahan 7, Sirianni 8, Dan Campbell 9, Kevin Stefanski 10. The Kevin Stefanski one is just...
Two-time coach of the year, man. More than Andy Reid.
Interesting year for Dan Campbell. This is a prove-it year for Dan Campbell.
Big
it's
year.
A big year for Dan Campbell. I think maybe a bigger year as a head coach for him than maybe anybody else in the NFL because you lost both your coordinators.
Okay. I ask you this question then with that. Wonderful topic here. More to prove this year's head coach, Dan Campbell or Ben Johnson?
Who's Ben Johnson again?
Come on.
Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell. No, Ben Johnson gets a one-year free pass.
Yeah. But I'll ask you, raise you that and give you this, Dan Campbell or Mike Tomlin?
Well, it's Dan Campbell because Pittsburgh doesn't change their coach.
That is seemingly maybe not going to happen this year.
Well, I think
those rumors are coming up.
Yeah, I think if they change their coach, Tomlin's walking.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Tomlin walks. Because when was the last time they gave him somebody to work with at quarterback? How long has Ben Roethlisberger been retired? And he's made the playoffs with loser one and loser two, you know, like... I hate the Mike Tomlin. Hey, I really do. His organization, man, they don't do a lot to help him out from that standpoint. And he still goes out there and finishes above 500 and still wins. I could see Mike Tomlin saying it's time to move on. And then he becomes a street free agent. Giants hire him.
Well, yeah, you like that part at the end.
I do.
That part's nice at the end for you.
Yeah. No, but I think he would walk out the door before they would fire him.
Dusty, what about you? Dan Campbell or Mike Tomlin, more pressure?
I think it's Tomlin. I mean, me, of all people, Mike Tomlin could be out of Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh coaches normally just take the high road and leave, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they leave on their terms. They have their – and according to what we've heard and what we've seen throughout the offseason, Tomlin and Rodgers were on the same page the whole time. Hey, man, we're not going to say anything. We're just going to see how you develop in this media story and see what happens. And Aaron Rodgers held his part of the deal. Mike Tomlin held his part of the deal. And now they're together, and this is where we're going to go. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Mike Tomlin to actually get to the playoffs, continue to be a 500 winning coach, and make it work with Aaron. And if he does, then well done. If he doesn't, Pittsburgh will use this as a, you know, we're going to clean the slate of the Tomlin era, bring in a new face and somebody that can lead this franchise. So I'm going to see that. Which Harbaugh has more pressure?
John.
Yeah, I don't think there's any pressure in L.A. Nobody even knows they exist. It's true. I mean, it's L.A. I mean, they're out on the beach. They're doing that. There's no L.A. media and all that kind of nonsense. Like, there's no pressure out there in L.A. There was less in San Diego. But I think Dan Campbell, because if he doesn't win, they'll immediately say he's not a head coach. It was a benefit of his coordinators. So that's why I think there's pressure on Dan Campbell to have a good season so people don't say he was good because of the coordinators. They go out there, they win 11 or 12 games, then Dan Campbell's a legitimate head coach, and you can't say, well, he was only good because he had great coordinators around him. And so that's why I think it's a big year for Dan Campbell. It's a separation type of year. Are you in that, I don't want to say the Andy Reid category, but you're that head coach that can operate and do great things no matter who your coordinators are.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Or were you a product of your coordinators?
Yeah, can I set it and forget it and be like, all right, we got our head coach for the next 10 years. Or do I have to really still think about it? That's true. This is it.
Yeah, you get double-digit wins this year. Nah, we're good. He's your guy.
Yep.
But if he goes 8-9, then you're thinking, okay, he just had good coordinators around him.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.